The series we're in, we're starting, is called Genuineness World Record. Not famous faith, but genuine faith.
Yes.
I love that because we can't be who we're created to be in Christ if we are not genuine and authentic.
Amen.
Like that's where it starts. Even from the beginning, when man fell in the garden, man sinned, the first thing they did was try and cover up, try and hide. Mm-hmm. They tried to, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but they tried to conceal what they had done and what they felt. Like God came looking for them, and they were hiding. They were covered themselves with leaves, and the Lord's like, I didn't create you to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't make you to conceal what I came to walk with you to do daily. Even from the beginning, if in our broken state, if we're not consciously removing those fig leaves and removing those things that we try and protect ourselves with, we'll never be who God intended for us to be, which is completely honest, completely bare, completely revealed, naked, for a better word, before Him. The genuineness that the Lord's looking for in all of us is crucial to really the transformation that He wants to do. I've heard it said before, you know, God can't heal what you won't reveal. You know, we can't heal from brokenness or sin until we bring it into the light and let the Lord deal with it. As long as it's hidden, it's never going to be completely dealt with in the light of the Word of God and in the light of community, in the light of the grace of God. So being genuine is a... But you can't lie to God.
Amen. Amen.
He already knows it. He's already seen it. He's already well aware of it. He's waiting for us to come to the point where we say, Lord, I'm desperate enough to confess this to you so that you can change me from the inside out. And so with a new year, I've said it before, like everyone's in their new year, new me season, right? Everybody's signing up to go to the gym. They started a diet. They're trying to fit into those clothes that they have prepared for the summer. Some of us are repenting for eating too much over Thanksgiving and Christmas break, you know. Because when you're at home, like a lot, you know, you just get bored and you snack, you know. You can only watch so many Christmas movies, you know. So I just got, that's where I'm at. That's me being genuine before you guys. But we're in that season where people are trying to implement new habits, new protocols, new disciplines. And I don't want to cast like a broad brush, or I'm not trying to, but when it comes to the people of God and trying to implement new things, new disciplines, setting a new standard, setting higher goals, it is impossible to hit those goals without the help of the Lord.
Amen.
The change you're wanting to see in your life cannot happen on its own.
Amen.
That's why we need Jesus.
Amen.
If you could have done it on your own, you would have already.
Right.
Right?
Right?
If you could have, if I could have gotten my life together on my own, I would have done it a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
But I needed the transformative power of Jesus Christ and the gospel and the Word of God working in me to create that transformation.
Amen.
So I would encourage you, whatever goal you set, whether it's something just as natural as, Lord, help me not eat fast food as much. Or, Lord, help me get my finances a little bit more in order. You cannot possibly attain any of those natural goals without the spiritual help from the Lord.
Amen.
So I encourage you, invite the Lord into those things that you're that you're trying to implement in this year. And it's a great time to start. It's a great time to start. Any kind of new discipline, any kind of new, maybe, Lord, I just want to stay in the Word more. So ask Him. Ask Him for a hunger for the Word of God. Yeah. Reading Leviticus, you know, there's a, when I've read through the Bible in, I have like a 1 year Bible and I'll read it. And there's, when we're in the Old Testament, it's fun in the beginning. And then you read, it's some work, okay? And you've really got to dig in and say, Lord, help me see what you see. Help me hear what you're speaking to me today. Because the word is alive. And he can make the fun stories. He can make the gospels come alive. He can make the song. He can make Leviticus. He can make the law that is so sometimes difficult to get through. He can reveal something even in that. Amen. That's the power of the word of God. So I encourage you, just invite him in. The scripture for today is first the kind of the I guess anchor scripture for today's message is 1 Peter 1 verse 7, and I'm going to read it to you. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of Sorry, let me read. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He says, these things that have the proven genuineness of your faith. Well, what things? I want to skip up to verse 3 because it's really important that we get the context of where what we're talking about here. Verse 3 says, in chapter 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Thank you, Lord, that you're our living hope.
Amen.
You know, some people trust in statues and idols, but we have a living hope in Christ Jesus. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. You have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor. Amen. So he's saying that the trials and the grief that we suffer have come, and it proves the genuineness of our faith. Just like how gold is refined in the fire, and even gold in its purest form is still an earthly element. The Lord doesn't need gold in heaven, right? He's making sidewalks with it. He's got plenty up there. But even that isn't going to last. But the genuineness of our faith is what's going to stand the test of time. And I've shared a little bit of my story with you, but I want to talk about trials. I want to talk about grief this morning a little bit because I think the temptation at the beginning of the new year is to overemphasize encouragement, and which I want to encourage you. However, the trials and the grief and the things that we go through on a daily basis aren't going to go away. Jesus promised that trials would come. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you.
Yeah.
But take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Yes.
So if my message is anything, it's take heart that the trials and the circumstances that we face, the grief, the loss, the pain, all of it is not only shaping us into who God wants us to be, like gold purified in fire, but it's also revealing who we are in those moments. When I think about the word genuine, I think about the word authentic. We see genuine when on our belts, if you got like a leather belt, it says genuine leather, right? Sometimes I like to go to the flea market and see who's selling fake sunglasses or fake watches or purses or whatever. Like I went to New York City one time and I tried to find like a fake Rolex or something, you know. And nobody knows. I mean, what? But, but like those things that are counterfeited weren't made by the same manufacturer as the real thing. Right? And what happens when you get the real thing? It comes with a certificate of authenticity provided by the maker of that item. That has that maker's seal of approval that says, I made this on this day by this at this time and this person. And if it's something very, very valuable, it is, even says for the person who's made it from. That sounds familiar, right? Authenticity. That authenticity is... how am I going to say this? You were created to be able to take on those burdens, that grief, those trials. As bad as it sounds, and as tough as it sounds, like. We are created to be able to handle these things in Christ. I remember when we had a death in our family. I lost my father-in-law to suicide. And it was the weirdest feeling because if I hadn't had the Lord, it would have destroyed me. It would have destroyed my family. It would have destroyed my wife's family. But even though we went through a very grief-filled season, it was during the fall and it lasted into Christmas and everything, I just remember telling people, it's the weirdest feeling. I have the most pain in my heart I've ever had in my entire life, yet I have the most peace. It's the weirdest. It was the weirdest thing. And if it had not been for the Lord, we wouldn't have gotten through that. We wouldn't have gotten through that. And so the Lord actually has created in all of us the ability to sustain those kind of circumstances and trials through Him. The Maker with His certificate of authenticity says, I created you. I created that handbag to be able to carry this and this and that. Right. And it's going to last. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between the knockoff and the real thing. Mm-hmm. You buy a fake Rolex, the band's going to break, the hands are going to stop moving, you have diamonds fall out of it, whatever. The real thing... they're supposed to last for forever, right? Like they'll never stop like spending some of them. But they were created to last. Same thing, ladies, with like a handbag. You ever get hear about these knockoff handbags or whatever? It looks like the real thing until you like bump into something and like the strap breaks and like you get a scratch on it and the paint comes off or whatever. But like the authenticity of something is tested not when everything's good, not when it's on the shelf, not when the guy on Canal Street in New York City is trying to sell it to you. It's through the daily life that we live where we bump into things. Things happen. If it's a bag, you put some weight in it, you see what happens. And so that authenticity is revealed not in the early stages, but it's through the daily life that we go through where God reveals what we can carry, what we can't carry. Because sometimes we can't carry it all. Sometimes, all right, this is a word for somebody. I'm kind of going off script here, but off my notes. But some of us in this room need to start saying no to some people. Because you can't do it. You can't please everybody. You can't please everybody. And I've told somebody this recently, you don't owe them anything. If it costs you your peace, your joy, your relationship with God, we're supposed to be a wellspring from an overflow that we provide rivers of living water to other people. But if we're running dry, we're of no use to anybody. So sometimes we got to set healthy boundaries on what we say yes to and what we say no to. Amen?
Amen.
Sorry, that's probably for me. I'll just be honest. So we come to a place where we say, God, I'm in the middle of it right now. God, I'm going through it. And I'm reminded of a psalm, Psalm 94. Because this is what we have to remind ourselves. In the middle of these trials, it's like we can talk about trials all day long until we go through one. And it's not the before or after, it's the middle, you know? It's that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego where Jesus, there's a fourth man in the fire with you. That's where you need him the most.
Yeah.
Psalm 94, this is, it's a psalm about the vengeance of the Lord. I'll read verse 1, then I'm going to skip down to verse 11. It says, "The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth." And in that same spirit, in that same idea, in verse 11 it says, "The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment again will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it." It says, "You grant them relief from days of trouble." I love that. Did you know that in the midst of a storm, Jesus can still say, "Peace, be still"?
Amen. Amen.
He's still working miracles.
Amen.
And even when those trials and those circumstances arise, he still has the power over the wind and the waves. And a lot of times we want to be like the disciples and wake Jesus up while he's sleeping in the boat and say, "Jesus, don't you hear the storm?" What they were really saying in that verse is, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm in the middle of this right now?" But this says he sees it all. He sees all our plans. He sees it all. And a lot of times we want Jesus to calm the storm. And then other times we need to settle for just him being happy in the boat.
Amen.
You know? As much as that, those, I love a miraculous moment. I love it when God provides seemingly out of nowhere. Even last year, my wife and I, like when I was in between ministry and what I do now, we had a time where I wasn't really making, but I can tell you every Sunday I kind of took a step of faith and but I can tell you every single week that a bill was due, money was there. Amen. Things that like we never had happened before. We had refunds from insurance, like health insurance gave us money back. That never happens. We had extra money come in from taxes, and like I have paid taxes like every year since I was old enough to pay taxes. And then the year that I needed the most, that we get like a bigger refund, you know?
Yeah.
And I love those miraculous moments. And my temptation, I don't know if y'all are like me, but especially when it comes to things like finances or whatever, I try and fix it myself. If a bill comes up or something like that, I'm like, what can I sell? Let me get on Facebook Marketplace. Let's see how much this is. What can I, like, how can I fix it? You know? And it may not be finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something at work. But our tendency is to do like in the garden, right? And try and put fig leaves over the problem. God, I'm naked out here. Let me try and fix it. Let me try and sell something. Let me try and smooth over this relationship. But what the Lord's looking for is for us to return to him and say, Lord, I need help. I'm in the middle of this trial.
Amen.
The Lord is refining all of us in his time, not ours.
Amen.
And I did some research about how refining gold works. First of all, it's heated, which is uncomfortable. And some of us, all of us, have felt that pressure, that heat, that discomfort that we get out of it now. But I believe like during like COVID and like the pandemic and everything, the Lord was setting a refining fire in his church, because the church in America has been able to operate in a certain way for as long as it's existed. And then COVID shook all that up, you know? Churches who were doing the same thing they've always done for as long as they've been around, certain all of a sudden couldn't do it. We were having church online. We were not able to see people face to face. And it refined, it did not shake up the power of the church, but it shook up the practice of the church. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe it refined us, because I was in a season where I was responsible for every young adult in our church at three different campuses, and I usually just see them on Sundays. But I literally I pulled a spreadsheet with every single name of every young adult, and I personally called them and said, hey, how are you doing? It made me a better pastor. Instead of relying on the church service to bring people in, instead of relying on social media as much or whatever, I had to dig down and say, Lord, you're changing some things. You're shaking some things up. So it made me a better pastor. And so now I'm like a telemarketer. Like if I've got people, like I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Before, I was like scared to text people, like, you know, and that's just my generation, you know, like we do better over text. We're just getting on the phone. But things like that, the church was refined in that season is what I'm trying to say. And there's heat that's applied to the refining process. So the shape that the gold was in before it went in the crucible changes. It goes from a solid state to a liquid. And then this raw gold still has impurities in it. It still has bits and pieces of other things that it was maybe next to, or maybe even if you're melting down something like jewelry, it's usually like with another kind of metal. And so what the goldsmith does is he once that heat is applied, he takes what's called, I think it's called flux, which he adds an ingredient into the molten gold, which causes all the impurities to gather together so that it can be taken out. And so when we have these refining trials and these circumstances that we go through, and we're feeling that heat and we're feeling that pressure, all of a sudden the Lord steps in and he throws in something called flux, or he throws in something, a curveball, and all of a sudden, like, what was hidden underneath that molten gold and what was hidden and concealed, refine me. Or we can back off the heat and just let it solidify. And I think that's what a lot of people end up doing. They feel the heat, they feel the pressure, they feel the uncomfortable circumstances that they're in, and then they either try and avoid the heat because that's hot. I don't like that. Y'all got any AC in here? What's you know? But what Paul was, or what he's saying in that verse is embrace the fire. Embrace the struggle. Embrace the refining process. And so the best thing we can do in 2026 is not say, Lord, keep me from every trial. Protect me from every... I wasn't going to use this, but... It's not... Lord, protect me from ever getting into any uncomfortable situation ever, but it's, Lord, be with me during all of them. Yeah. Amen. And my daughter's two, and one of her favorite movies is Finding Nemo. Have y'all seen that movie? It's about an overprotective dad who loses his son. And then... right at towards the end of the movie, he's talking to the bluefish. I think her name's Dory. And the dad, his name's Marlin. I'm sorry, I'm a dad of a 2-year-old girl, so we're gonna bear with me, okay? Marlin and Dory are talking. And he thinks that he lost his son Nemo forever. He's like, oh, I lost him. I promised him I would never let anything happen to him. And then Dory's like, well, that's a dumb thing to promise. If you promise him that nothing's ever going to happen to him, then nothing will ever happen to him. That's a very boring life. You've got to let something happen to him. And I was like, wow. What if the Lord just left me alone? You know? What if nothing ever happens? Nothing good or bad. We just, you know? And I think that, sorry, I'm contemplating hear what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say that like the Lord's not going to take care of us or anything like that. I'm saying embrace, when those things happen, walk with the Lord through them. Sorry, I don't know why I got on that. But back to the fire and the refining. After the impurities are removed from the gold, they can then be, they're poured out into ingots or a mold into what the jeweler or the goldsmith wants them to be, and they cool off, and that's the end of the story, right? No. Wish it was, like, oh gosh, I'm out of the fire now, great. But then they take that gold and they begin to shape it into a necklace, a ring, which takes more heat, more hammering. And you're like, Lord, I thought I was done with the fire. Now you're hitting me with a hammer. The Lord disciplines those who he loves. And like we can say that discipline is lacking in the nation, certainly, and I think sometimes in children, as much as I've been a youth pastor, I could. Verse 8 in 1 Peter says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Yes. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Even though we're being refined by the fire, even though it's uncomfortable, even though we're getting curveball after curveball, even though we are stricken with grief, we are still supernaturally provided with a glorious joy. I want to encourage you this morning that even though you're going through a trial, we're definitely not in a season of persecution. But personal trials, grief, that glorious joy is still available to you today. No matter what the circumstance. And I can tell you from personal experience that the Lord is closer than a friend in those moments. Amen. Unspeakable joy. Amen. My prayer for us today is that even though we're being refined by the fire, even though we're going through those trials and stricken with grief, we can have that inexplainable joy. I want to end with this. I want us to all stand. I've kind of been all over the place today because I think I dressed like a youth pastor today, so I apologize for that. But I want us to all take a moment with the Lord and begin to ask the Holy Spirit, where am I in this refining process? Am I raw material, which sometimes can be the best place to be, full of impurities and imperfections, but still in the hand of the Creator? You're still gold. You're still valuable, even with all your flaws and imperfections and impurities. You're still gold. You still carry value in the hands of the Lord. Or maybe you're in a place where you're being refined by the fire of God, where all those imperfections and impurities are starting to fester and come to the surface, and you don't know if you should just embrace the heat or just retreat back to where it's not hot. I want to remind you that Jesus, the Lord, is with you in the midst of that fire. He's going to be standing with you. He's going to be walking with you. He's going to be your peace. He's going to be your joy. He's going to be your strength in the middle of that fire. Maybe the Holy Spirit's revealing you a part of this process where he's introduced a flux that's caused impurities to rise to the surface and reveal themselves. Maybe it's been in an attitude, or maybe it's been a hurt or a pain that you thought you healed from, but you really just kind of suppressed it and held it down, and you saw that person that wronged you again, and all those feelings came back to the surface. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. I heard it said the way you know you've truly forgiven somebody is if you can genuinely pray for them. Not a bless his heart, but a Lord, I bless that person and I genuinely want you to have your will be done in their life, Lord. That's how you know you've forgiven somebody. If you can't pray for them and pray that the goodness of God overwhelms. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been refined by the fire. You've come through all the impurities coming to the surface, and then you've been shaped into a pure gold. Listen, the Lord's never going to stop shaping you. He's never going to stop refining us. He's never going to stop making us more into his image, because he's perfect. And I feel like this is where a lot of us are this morning, is he's crafting you into a genuine and authentic piece of artwork. And he's taking a hammer, he's taking a chisel, he's taking that beautiful piece of gold that was refined by the fire, and he's shaping it into the piece that fits into his kingdom perfectly. And you still feel that hammer, like, Lord, that hurts. Put me back in the fire, soften me up a little bit, bring me back out, hit me with a hammer again. Instead of asking the Lord to remove the fire, ask the Lord to make me more like you, Lord. Lord, you're creating something beautiful in all of us, Lord. And Lord, this morning, I just ask you to search our hearts, search every piece of us, Lord. Through these trials, through seasons of grief, through seasons of pain, we're asking for not something flashy, not something that fades over time, not something that breaks easily under pressure, Lord, but something that is authentic and genuine that will stand the test of time. Then that only comes from you, Lord, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to search us today. Help us start 2026 fresh, new, and on fire for you, Jesus. But, Lord, we don't want to just do it out of human effort and self-discipline, Lord. We need your discipline. We need your supernatural power working through us to accomplish these goals, Lord. If we could have done it on our own, we would have already, Lord. We need your grace. We need your peace, Lord. We need your self-control. So, Father, today I just ask you that you would grant us that inexplicable joy, that indescribable joy in the midst of all these trials and tribulations, Lord. Even with wars and rumors of wars, Lord, you're still on the throne, Jesus. Your place has not changed, Lord. So we declare, Lord, you reign in our hearts, in our lives. You reign in our state, in our city, in our nation, Lord Jesus. You are above it all, Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for the work that's being done in us, Lord. No matter how big, no matter how small, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to just be with us in the boat. Don't let us be afraid of fire in 2026, Lord. Let us embrace it, that refinement. Make us more like you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.